and welcome to another edition of the Trades Cast, the podcast dedicated to all things business entertainment. I'm Jeff Bob.
And I'm Mike Patterson, and welcome to the podcast for February 21st, 2010.
Well, it wasn't a surprise, Mike, that Shutter Island was number one, but again, I feel like I used to be good at this, but these box office numbers keep surprising me, and $40 million for Shutter Island really surprised me. This is $14 million more than The Departed, which was the most any Martin Scorsese movie had ever made on an opening weekend. That's a pretty big number.
It is a huge number. I really didn't know how it was going to do. We obviously saw quite a bit of advertising. That doesn't mean in the past that Scorsese films haven't had no big advertising. And also the formula all seems almost the same. It's interesting just to see how there was that much more attendance at the box office for that.
Yeah, it's very much kind of an homage to a B movie, and it's got a $75 million budget, which is not small, but clearly it's not a massive budget. Why do you think it did so well?
Well, I think it just probably was something that people did want to see. Now, there have been talks about how Paramount did push this back a couple of months, and there's been a little bit of talk that they thought maybe they could have even done better performance if they had released the film in, say, December. There were a couple of windows, as everybody knows. There was a little bit of panic about Avatar just sucking attendance out of the room, but there was a weekend right before that really didn't have much there. So Paramount really has this thing where they've seen now that the film performed really well. But now they're starting to wonder whether it would have even performed better if they had it opened in December.
Well, we'll have to see. We kind of have a rule of thumb with box offices, which is they're so big opening weekend, a pretty typical drop-off for a movie is 50%. If it has really good word of mouth, and this film, critics for the most part liked it, it may do less than a 50% drop-off. I was, of course, pretty astute when I said Valentine's Day would go relatively in the toilet. It is still second with $17 million, but it had a drop-off of about 60-65%. I assume it's hard to tell your date that. I guess these were all the people who said, oh, we forgot Valentine's Day, we should go this weekend. Because otherwise, I don't know who the hell is going to this movie.
That's what you would call event programming. I'm actually shocked that they were able to rope in $17 million, to be honest with you. I know it's a drop of two-thirds, but still. And if you look at Percy Jackson, it did a relatively normal 50% drop, give or take. But The Wolfman, that did get hit quite hard.
Yeah, absolutely. It dropped from $30 million to $10 million. It's pretty insane. Meanwhile, Avatar keeps sticking around there at $16 million. The most amazing thing about Avatar is somewhere during this week, it will reach $700 million in domestic box office gross. That's a number that no one, I think, ever thought was possible. That's pretty insane, but we'll see, because there aren't any other major 3D movies out right now. When one comes, that'll probably spell finally the end for Avatar, because right now, if you don't have a 3D movie to put in its place, you're going to keep running Avatar. Why wouldn't you? If you're getting half full houses, then you stick with it. So, and it just shows you how the box office plays that way. For example, Tooth Fairy is still in the top 10, and that's because there's no other kids movies out right now.
When you look at half of the box office there, from Dear John down, the only one that you actually pay attention to is Crazy Heart, because everything else, well, these are all films that performed less than $10 million over the weekend, and every one of these movies was in at least 1,000 theaters, and with the exception of Crazy Heart, was in over 2,000 theaters. So, and basically, these are scraps, and that, as the beginning of the year always is, there's a lot less competition. And you're right, when the summer starts to come around, and whether it's in 3D or not, but it looks like, boy, there's going to be a lot of 3D movies coming out, we'll see much more competition. But Avatar is going to be up there for quite a while, I think.
Well, we'll see. Coming up this weekend, I would tell you that nothing is coming out, but Mike, I know you are a fan of the rotund one, the I can't fit on a plane without three or four seats, Kevin Smith. And believe it or not, some people probably don't know this, but he has a movie coming out this weekend. And if you don't know, don't be surprised. It's because his name basically is not coming up in any of the commercials.
There's been a lot of talk about this movie for the last year. If you're kind of a internet type of guy, originally this film was called A Couple of Dicks, and Warner Brothers basically, while they were shooting, said, you know, we just can't stand behind A Couple of Dicks as the name of a film. So eventually they came to the conclusion, a cop out, and everybody was happy with that, it sounds like. And then this ad campaign comes out, and you can't find Kevin Smith as the director at all. Now, this is also a film that isn't written by Kevin Smith. So you can't truly call it a Kevin Smith movie, but it, you know, listen, it's got, obviously got his stamp all over it. If you've seen any of the previews, you can kind of, if you know Kevin Smith movies, you see the tropes there already. One of the more interesting things about Kevin Smith in general is that he's so accessible. He has a weekly podcast. He's been a Twitter kind of guy. And there was something that came out a while back about how, you know, Bruce Willis is pretty much a god to Kevin Smith, and that he really was kind of disappointed by Bruce Willis's ego. They obviously did the movie and they got it done, but he was a little bummed out by his attitude the whole time.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised. I assume working with someone like Bruce Willis these days has got to be impossible. Stories leaked early on in his career with Moonlighting that he was difficult to work with. Now imagine what he's like now that he thinks he's incredible. And I'm sure that everyone in America saw Surrogates. Oh, no way. Nobody did. He's got yet another bomb to his name. And I'm not sure how well this movie's going to do. I think it looks absolutely unwatchable. But Kevin Smith can make interesting films. I honestly think they're not using his name in the commercials because some people just flat out hate him. I think they figured out Kevin Smith fans would figure out it was his movie and go. And the rest of them, they don't want to tell him it's his movie.
I think you're dead on that. And let's just be honest. It's not as if Kevin Smith has hordes of fans. He has, you know, a solid base that if he had a $5 to $10 million budget for his film, it would perform quite well as an indie guy. But, you know, he keeps on trying to push the envelope out of indie films. I think it was smart for him to work on somebody else's script because, you know, maybe he can do this. Maybe he can be a guy that people tap to direct these types of films. You never know. And so,
no, I'm sure he would like to be a bigger gun for hire. It would help him make his own movies if he could make bigger money making his other movies. So we're going to have to see how this one does because Bruce Willis certainly does not mean box office boffo anymore. And Tracy Morgan has a very hot and cold with audiences. Some people love him, some people hate him. So this is going to be a strange week.
If you were to predict, what do you think the box office would be for something like Cop Out?
20 million. I'm going 20. What do you think?
I think it's right around there as well. I think that if it went above 25 million, they'll be happy. If it goes below 25, or if it goes above 20, they'll be happy. And if it goes below 20, I think they'll say they expected it, but they won't be happy.
Yeah, well, there aren't any movies like it currently out, and that will go to its benefit. The same with the other movie opening that weekend, which is The Crazies, which I have absolutely nothing to say about except that currently there are no true horror movies out. I mean, there's The Wolfman, but this isn't that kind of movie. This is the modern horror movie. And as long as you are the only one out there, you're going to get your 10 to 20 million. You could just put it in the bank.
I have seen some trailers to this, and basically, it is interesting that this film is going to get its shot because it's in a fairly weak frame. So this could rival Cop Out for a box office draw with very little, fanfare at all. So we'll see. I mean, I haven't seen many reviews, and I don't know how it's going to be released, as in how many theaters it's going to be out there, which might be the difference between The Crazies making 10 million and Cop Out making 20 or 25. It would be just because of market share.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there in terms of how well they do. And speaking of doing well, the CW, which, you know, maybe even as late as a year ago, people were wondering how much longer it might even exist as a network. Looks like it's going to be gearing up for another year on television, and they are renewing several of their shows, which are performing as well or better than expected, including Vampire Diaries, Gossip Girl, and 90210.
Yeah, well, they obviously knew what they were doing with the vampire thing, because they kind of obviously hit that quite on the nose with having this all with Twilight and everything like that. And of course, they're keeping America's Next Top Model, which is their pretty much their show. That's like the big one. But it also looks like the, you know, Melrose Place is going to get the axe. There's a couple of other shows that are really on the bubble. But, you know, it's interesting because we're a little bit too old for the CW. We're beyond the target audience. It's funny sometimes to look at things from the CW because I only look at them as statistics. I don't watch these shows, or I will occasionally only watch an episode of Smallville or something like that. So it looks as if they're doing everything right to keep momentum going. It doesn't look like they're doing anything that's rather drastic or short-sighted. So I think that all their moves are pretty good.
Yeah, the thing I like about the CW is not its shows. I hate its shows. But what I like is that it exists, because it's great to have a network where you know that you don't have to get 10 or 15 million viewers to stick around. Vampire Diaries is doing great at about 5 million viewers. So that's good. Now, the show, of course, that does way more than 5 million viewers every week is American Idol. And the big news about American Idol that is not about what happened on the show is how many viewers this week, because for the first time in 6 years, Idol did not win both of its nights. The Winter Olympics beat it. And the numbers are slightly down for Idol, but that is strictly a Winter Olympics effect, is my belief. It has nothing to do with anything else. But to give us an update on what's going on inside the world of Idol, we've got Gina.
Well, it's finally here. The top 24 is set. Of course, as usual, it was not done without some controversy. The biggest being a contestant who was put into the coveted top 24, only to be given the boot weeks later. So Chris Golightly, he came out this week and said he had been put through to the top 24, only to be cut a few weeks ago due to some previous recording contract conflicts. I mean, you have to feel bad for the guy, because it sounds like it was all actually a big mix-up when a previous manager came out of the woodwork. He made a claim to Idol that turned out not to be legitimate. But nevertheless, by the time they had sorted it all out, Tim Urban had already been given Chris's slot, and Idol would not switch it back. So you really do have to feel bad for this guy. And Idol should probably investigate things a little further before they give contestants the boot. So the decision on the top 24 was no less heartbreaking for some other contestants. I would say the biggest backlash about the judge's decision was the exclusion of sentimental favorite Angela Martin. So this is something that Idol frequently does that really frustrates viewers. They've given tons of airtime and backstory to a contestant like Angela. She has a truly heartbreaking story. Then somebody like her is cut, and contestants are put through to the top 24 that viewers have barely even seen. It's very bizarre. Fan favorite Thaddeus Johnson's another contestant. Viewers were upset he didn't make it through, especially when slots were given to people like Joe Munoz, who I honestly don't know if we've ever heard him sing, Paige Miles. I don't recall hearing her sing. They're in the top 24, and these people they've given all this airtime to are not. Now, however, Angela Martin's story does have a happy ending, possibly. It seems that viewer backlash, coupled with some apparent remorse on the part of judges Ellen DeGeneres and Cara DioGuardi, might give her another shot at fame. So Ellen had Angela on her show this week. You know, she has her talk show still. She lavished her with praise. She let her tell her story. She let her sing. And then she announced to her that Cara, who is a very accomplished songwriter, she writes for like the biggest pop stars around, Cara would be writing and producing a song just for Angela. So you really have to wonder, when something like this happens, what the Idol judges were thinking. They obviously think enough of her that they want to still make her a pop star, but they wouldn't put her in the top 24. It's very weird. Simon actually himself said this week, He said, looking back, you know, we wish we had some more time to think. Decisions might have been different. He acts like it's a very crunched process, and kind of when they get some perspective on the matter that they feel differently. I'm sure that's very frustrating to hear if you're a contestant who got the boot. But the good news is that the fate of your idol favorites is now out of the judges' hands. From now on, it's viewers' votes and support that will put them through. So they can't make any of those weird decisions anymore. So this week, get ready for lots of hours of idol viewing. Tuesday, the 12 ladies sing. Wednesday, the 12 guys sing. And Thursday, there's a third night of idol. So that's 5 hours of idol this week. So if we make it through all of that, we will see you next week.
My girl is not doing super well. That's Haley, but I'm still rooting on her. She did make it to the 24, and I'm hoping she's going to make it to the 12. Really got to make it to the 10 to be in their tour, their ridiculous mall tour. I don't know if they tour malls, but that's what it feels like to me.
I'll be blocking Fox the rest of
it. As someone who's not on Fox, but who's had an incredibly long relationship with ABC, is making a big change. Barbara Walters, who I guess is still alive. I wasn't sure if she'd been replaced by a robot, but I guess she's still going at 80. But she has decided not to do one of her pet projects anymore.
I mean, I guess we should mention, just for those who might live in a cave, that Barbara Walters has 2 annual events. One is the 10 Most Fascinating People, and one is the Oscars interviews. And it looks as if she is saying that this is the last year she will be doing the Oscar show. And I believe she has been doing this for nearly 30 years. I think this is her 29th year doing it, which is obviously huge. And you could go through this list of people that she's interviewed, and they're never, you know, everybody's seen at least one of these, and they're not very gripping. They kind of just go through the motions. She is still going to be doing her 10 Most Fascinating People. And I don't think there has been an announcement of who is going to replace her, or even if they're going to replace, you know, have the show next year. So who knows?
Yeah, it sounds like ABC wants to keep going. And of course, they could find somebody to replace her. I had really hoped that maybe she would follow this announcement by ending The View. Because sometimes I accidentally see The View, and if I can't get to the remote fast enough, I start to regurgitate in my mouth. So maybe as she ages into her 80s, she can just go away. But in the meantime, at least she won't be doing this anymore. I would love it if they replaced her with somebody younger. I'm not Ellen, though, because I'm afraid Ellen will soon be doing everything. So maybe they could find somebody who is actually new and interesting, but that seems a little too risky for network television, but we'll have to follow that one carefully, and we will be watching the last one she does and seeing how that goes and if she has any little send-off. We'll be paying attention to everything that's going on as the Olympics finish up. They're doing so well here in America, much better than people expected. We'll be checking on how Kevin Smith does, assuming he lives long enough to see the opening of his next movie. We'll be checking on anything business entertainment related. So for Mike Patterson, I'm Jeff Favre. Have a great day.